The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group. If you've missed an episode or find any information we talk about today helpful to a friend or family member, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or find Seniors Solutions on Spotify. A little bit later, we'll talk with Ann Weeks from Asbury, but first, caring for a caregiver will help to protect the health of a senior with dementia. Let me explain what I mean.
Everybody's got somebody to lean on.
If you are a caregiver caring for someone who has dementia, it is imperative that you take care of yourself. Sunrise Senior Living, thank you for this particular article. You can read this at sunriseseniorliving.com in their blog for November 2018. So much has been written about the need for family caregivers to get time, get health, get recovery, protect themselves while they're pouring themselves out for those that they love. You may have discovered yourself as a caregiver unexpectedly, and typically that's how it happens. Someone got sick, you were the logical person to step in and assist them, and you may find your life consumed by caring for this individual. Not saying you're complaining, but just you are consumed. Your life is consumed with thinking about caring for your loved one. And if someone has dementia, it is all-consuming. Think about being a parent and having a 12-month-old or having a 15-month-old. There is a constant consideration. The only time that you actually rest is when they're in the crib asleep, right? Researchers from the University of Southern California and San Francisco, actually, Memory and their aging center, they discovered a really important reason to take self-care and make it a priority. Their study revealed that when the health declines for the caregiver, then the one that they're giving care to has a greater risk for mortality. That seems logical, but let's think about it. If you go through exercising consistently and you get on a regular track of taking care of yourself in a consistent way and managing your health and eating the right foods and so on, you will generally stay in what we call homeostasis, which means your body is in normality. It's doing okay. If, on the other hand, you burn the candle like we did in high school or in college to get through certain tests and papers and so on, there's a recovery period that comes as a result of it. When you're a caregiver, you're pouring yourself out. Sometimes you cannot plan for how involved you're actually going to have to be from one day to the next. So blocking out the time, giving yourself the room to take care of you is critical. Maybe you know someone who, maybe you're listening thinking, God, that's my sister. He's talking about my sister. She lives near my mom, and my sister is all consumed with taking care of mom, and I can't help because of where I live. There are four practical ways you could help anybody. You could help the caregiver. You can help yourself if you're the caregiver. Okay, no caregiver can do everything. Really, you have to make peace with the fact that you are a piece of an overall puzzle that will fit into this person's life, the one who needs the caregiving. So if you're gonna care and give that care consistently, you recognize you're not the only one. And if you've got Alzheimer's in the family, and it's a loved one who's got dementia, and you're providing care for them, I really appreciated hearing from Glenn Campbell's wife when she spoke at the 4-H Club in Chevy Chase about a year and a half ago, and she shared how there was this guilt that she and her family members, the kids all felt, about taking Glenn and putting him into a home. That's a strange phrase, but that's what that means, is that they made the decision that that's where he would go, that that's where it would be best for him, because he would get the full-time care, which they could come in, support, and care as well, but they had the full care provided by an on-site staff, right? Maybe you don't have that opportunity financially, or maybe it's just not what you believe is right now. Well, that's fine. In the Campbell's case, it was years, years. Like, I think it was like 6 or 7 years of him walking through dementia, and it just got to the point where he could no longer be cared for by his family. It was actually hazardous. You need to set realistic expectations, making time to think about your priorities in life. Your fiduciary duty to care for the one that you love is without question. But a part of that fiduciary duty is making sure that you have the capability to continue to work at a consistent pace to care for that person. So be realistic. Decide what's truly important to you and let that be your guide every day. And explore local resources around you, learning more about local senior centers that are nearby that might provide assistance where you could bring your loved one there for a couple of hours. You might stay and they might become a part of a group. There are many agencies also that maintain lists of contractors with experience building ramps or modifying doorways. So think about where you need to be going next to make sure that the transition in and out of the house will work better. Prioritize a healthy lifestyle. I think I've already said sleep, exercise, stress management, a well-balanced diet, all necessary. Unfortunately, these things often become very insignificant in the immediacy of demands and needs. One thing I like to say is that it's better to do what's important now than to have to do what's urgent later. That goes for our health, whether you have a caregiver situation or not. Take care of yourself this holiday. Eat right, get enough rest, exercise your body and your mind. How can you better advocate for your parent or loved one if you know that they're actually maybe in a community? The American Association of Retired Persons, the AARP, describes the role of an advocate as that individual who best ensures the best life possible for the family or friends when they are vulnerable. Here are some factors for you to consider. Ensuring that they receive appropriate, high quality, and timely services and support. Timely, important there, because needing and then waiting can be deadly. So making sure that the timely and high quality and appropriate support services are there. Helping manage personal affairs, okay, such as financial, health, and legal matters. So a friend of mine, Leah Nickerman, who runs a company that handles paying bills, and that's what their business is. Their Everyday Money Management is the company, and it's a great business, and it serves a wonderful need. Represent their best interest when they're unable to represent themselves. Being able to step in and have that position of giving the best representation, and then understand wishes for care and the quality of life that your loved one has. Family communication is the key here. If you're home for Christmas or going home for Christmas, I'm going to have conversations with family about mom or dad or cousins or your spouse or one of your kids who has early onset. You want to have listening as a very important tool. So communicating to whoever is going to be a part of a family meeting, the importance of, hey, say what you want, but let's give room for listening. We all want to know how we can better understand the desires and feelings and thoughts that our loved one has so that we can serve them effectively in giving them care. How can you advocate for your loved one when you're far away? Okay, I've got 5 points here that I want you to be aware of. This is number one, checking in regularly. Just a specific day or time every week where you've blocked time to reach out to your loved one. That means maybe it's Tuesday from 10 to 11 in the morning. Every Tuesday, you've blocked it in your schedule and it's repetitive and you just know that you're expected. So if an appointment comes up for something else, you can say, no, I have an appointment. Keep that regular contact. Have a plan too. So if there's an emergency, what could you do? So for just a day-to-day matter, for just a simple thing, you would probably go to the head of a community to assist. But if there are bigger issues arising, who's going to step in? Discuss that out with family. Know where to access the important information, the Social Security information, all the tax information, central copies, kind of a care notebook. Good idea. And learn what's available nearby to help. Okay, PBS. Public Broadcasting System suggests you educate yourself on the care and services that are available to your loved one near where you live. And then lastly, stay connected with the people that are actually caring for your parents. Reach out. You know, oftentimes there's one really strong relationship with a caregiver in a facility or in a family relationship, one family member who's really pouring themselves out. Stay connected to them. Find out how they're doing. Be an encouragement to them. Good ideas. Well, Stuart Rosenthal joins me again from the Beacon Newspapers. If you're not familiar with the Beacon Newspaper, it is a free publication at over 1,500 locations around the D.C. area, and you can read it online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Everything for all who are over 50.
Thank you, Eric. It's a very nice introduction.
Thank you, Stuart.
So we'll talk about some money stories today.
That sounds good.
You know, it was only like a month or two ago, it seems people were saying, gee, will this bull market ever end? And boy, did we get what we were asking for.
Right, didn't we? Why were you even asking that question?
Right. So now the question is, what do I do now? So we have a short article on five best moves for your portfolio. How do you reduce volatility so that your stocks don't swing around so much with the things going back and forth?
Yes.
There are low volatility ETFs. It's specialized in stocks that are pretty stable. Mm-hmm. How do you fight inflation? Treasury inflation protected securities are one way. You can buy them from Uncle Sam. Mm-hmm. You can also buy a fund of them. How do you plump up your yield? Well, there are dividend ETFs that focus on stocks that have paid increasing dividends every year for 25 years. It's not a large number of companies, but they're good companies to own. And you can also play the rising rates by, bond prices fall when interest rates go up. So buy short-term bonds or short-term bond funds. So a couple of good ideas like that in the paper.
And if you want to get that information, you'll have to read the Beacon Newspaper, pick it up, or go to thebeaconnewspapers.com.
And it's free everywhere.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Ann Weeks from Asbury Methodist Village will be back to talk about how to find the best retirement community for you.
He's making a list, checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tow to know. Too much stuff.
Welcome back. Ann Weeks from Asbury Methodist Village is in studio. Good morning, Ann. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Eric. Thank you so much for having me today.
My pleasure. Ann, 10 tips for estate planning, protecting health decisions. You and I are going to go back and forth a little bit about these 10 tips for our listeners. And then I want you to help me understand how do seniors make a decision about what's the right kind of place to live in?
Mm-hmm.
So top 10 tips for estate planning, protecting your health decisions. So giving authority to the right person to make decisions about your health should something happen to you would be one of the top 10 tips that I've seen. What about you? What have you seen?
I think that everyone is kind of scared of the unknown. So learning more about all the options out there is really critical when making the best informed decisions, making sure that you have those difficult conversations with your family and with your loved ones before they have to make those decisions without knowing, you know, really what your wishes are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's uncharted territory and kind of scary territory for a lot of people. And that's where, you know, a retirement counselor will come into play in my role, where I can actually help support people talking about those difficult conversations and talking about options, because there are so many options around healthcare. You know, the population will double 65 and up by 2030. So there's a lot of options out there.
Have you, in your experience, seen folks come in and their money has been unprotected? Maybe somebody else has been involved in their decision making in ways that's not been helpful?
Well, I think when it comes to finances, people don't realize how expensive healthcare is. Mm. So again, getting at the forefront of that and learning about, you know, what does assisted living cost? What does skilled nursing cost? Learning about those things will help protect your assets in the future. Determining what kind of community is right for you, whether staying at home is the best option for what your finances look like, and how that will change in the next 10 to 20 years.
Right. Making sure that the assets go to the people that you choose them to go to, and that they don't go to the wrong person who usurps, you know, the fear of kind of a Lex Luthor kind of an event where you've seen the movie Superman, Lex mm-hmm. Luthor is there on the deathbed of this billionaire heiress and she signs everything over to Lex.
Right.
Because he's there, a deceptive person, right? You know, so that fear of like somebody's going to swoop in and steal. So making sure those assets, you can put things into trust mm-hmm. and where they'll be guarded by a trustee and protecting you from someone taking things from you. Something to consider. Providing for those people that you're going to leave behind. Recognizing that even as generous as you want to be maybe with the school that you went to or, you know, with your friends or the church and so on, but making sure that you provide for those who are left behind. Interesting tidbit I was reading the other day, Anne, about Bill and Melinda Gates. They have three kids. They have chosen to for the kids to be comfortable, but not too comfortable, that they will always need to work. Interesting,
mm-hmm, absolutely.
Right? Because there's a gift actually in giving someone responsibility as much as there is in giving them irresponsibility, right? And irresponsibility doesn't always pay off.
That's right.
How you know, keeping things out of probate, which is, again, having all of the transfer of ownership and title and someone be considered prior to you passing. Sparing your family the arguments and the second guessing about who's supposed to get mama's pie plate.
Right.
Right? That special pie plate.
Mm-hmm. Everyone wants it.
Communicating your wishes to your close friends and family. Letting your friends know, hey, you know, this daughter is going to be my executrix, and then I've got my two sons who will be there. You know, letting people know so that there's a confirmation among a variety of people. Keep your papers within reach. And get digital copies of it. Update those papers regularly. Meet with your estate attorney. And actually, interestingly enough, plan your ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Plan for what you want to have happen when you have others gathering around to celebrate your life.
Yeah, I think all of those are very important. Keeping in mind, you don't want to make any of these decisions when you are in a crisis situation, when everyone is scrambling and you're not in the best state of mind. So planning ahead is very important. I say it's never too early to start thinking about retirement, thinking about, you know, the next steps in your life. And, mm-hmm. and that will make for better planning. That will make for getting things truly as you wish and known to the people closest to you so they can feel confident if anything indeed were to happen that they're there to support you and what you've already discussed as your wishes.
And you work at Asbury Methodist Village.
Yes.
And you are a sales counselor.
Yes.
Right? So you assist potential movers in. I'm not sure. That wasn't a great real estate term there, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah, sure.
So those who are coming to consider living at Asbury. Now, I'm sure everybody doesn't come to Asbury and then decide to live there.
Right.
I'm sure that everybody that comes there think they're going to move into a condo and then they end up moving to a villa. I just want to hear from you, as somebody on the front lines of conversation, what are those things that you've discovered in that position?
Well, it's essentially guiding people through these big life decisions. You know, just like picking out a college to go to when you're in high school, when you get to be of retirement age and you're thinking about your future, there's a lot of things to consider and you kind of need an unbiased outside person. And that's what my role is, to say, hey, okay, if the plan is to stay at home, let's talk about that.
Right.
What is important to you? And mm-hmm. getting to know my clients and what is important to them mm-hmm. helps. You know, some people say I'm going to stay at home and have care come in. Well, do you understand what that picture looks like? Do you understand how much that's going to cost?
Right.
Do you understand that there's a lot of different communities out there and there's a lot of different options in communities?
Right.
So guiding them along the path of where do you want to be? What's important to you? What does your family think of this? Have you had a discussion with your family about this? That's my role, is to step-by-step walk people through these big decisions. And if, you know, even if Asbury is not the right place for them,
right.
then have a plan in place for wherever they stay. And that's what we do at Asbury, to help people along in this big, big decision-making process.
You know, the quality of life that you pick when I'm selling a house, I'm selling a home in a neighborhood, and someone buys that house, they don't know the neighbors on either side of them. They may drive by late at night to see, you know, what happens in the neighborhood, that kind of thing. But they generally don't get a chance to test drive what it's like to live in that house. Mm-hmm. Whereas at Asbury, you can test drive what it's like to live there by coming to some of the great concerts that they have, some of the wonderful food. How many restaurants are there?
We've got 6 different dining options on the campus.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 90-year-old community on, what is it, 120 acres roughly?
135.
135.
Yep.
So you don't need all that. I can take 15.
we are very lucky to have the amount of land we have, which makes us a very unique community because it is kind of more like a college town environment on the campus at Asbury. There's lots of different kinds of housing, from single family homes to studio apartments. So we really have all different spaces for all different needs and all different financial portraits. So it's there's a lot to offer there, which makes a great unique mix of people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get to meet a lot of people who are interested in continuing education, the arts, nature.
Right.
Very active adults who go to a community to find that sense of, you know, friendship and camaraderie amongst their neighbors. And that's what we have at Asbury.
I like that financial portrait. I've never heard it said that way. But seeing what your financial portrait, you can help anybody look at their financial portrait and help them evaluate it in a non-judgmental fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, here's what we can do. There's a certain amount that they need to have in terms of residual income, whether that's pensions or whatnot, certain amount in assets to be able to join that club, the Asbury Club, right? And it's a lifestyle purchase. What you're doing is it's called a life plan community. Correct. No?
Continuing care community life plan, yes, is the new
way of saying it.
Term, okay. Yes, that people are using now. But we have all different levels of care at Asbury, independent living being our largest. But when you invest in Asbury, you're investing in knowing that no matter what happens with your health, there's always going to be a place for you at Asbury. And no matter what happens with your finances, because you have put money down to be in this community, and we promise that no matter what happens, we will take care of you for life and never ask you to leave.
That is a miracle at Christmas that Asbury has provided for many destitute over the years who've moved there, run out of money, and they've never been asked to leave. Thanks for that. If you want to reach out to Anne, give her a call today, 301-216-5471.
301-216-5471.
Call Anne today to set up a time to meet. Well, Helen Flynn joins me. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, everyone. I was thinking this week, after a very special, special event happened in my life, that we all need to expect the joy in our lives. We come to a point sometimes where we think, well, the good parts of my life are over. But this past week, I welcomed a brand new great-granddaughter, my first great-granddaughter, and I couldn't help but think back of the beauty of holding her, my son, his daughter, and now her daughter. These are the indelible memories that we lean on when it's the hard times. So as I say to my son often, look for the rainbows because they always turn up.
Thank you, Helen. Hey, if you find yourself in the neighborhood this evening at 9:30 p.m., join me for Real Estate Now, your national real estate news resource, or listen on Spotify. I'm Eric Stewart. I'll see you then.
You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too much stuff.
Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.